The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
I mean, how did you come to be involved with a piece of science fiction like that?
Well, it arrived as a script. I was just finishing a picture in Hollywood. I took another day to go, and the script arrived on my dressing table. And I heard that it had been delivered by George Lucas. And I thought, well, that's rather impressive, because he's an up-and-coming and very respect-worthy young director. So, and then when I opened it and found it was science fiction, I thought, oh, crumbs, you know, this is simply not for me. And then I started reading, and it seemed to me the dialogue was pretty ropey. But I had to go on turning the page. And I mean, that's an essential in any script. You've got to know what happens next or what's going to be said next. And I went on reading, and I thought, no, I like this. If only we can get some of the dialogue altered. And then I met him, we got on very well, and I found myself doing it, that's all.
And it's made more money than any other movie ever made.
So I'm told.
And
yes.
You've got yourself part of the action.
Ah, well.
2.5%, isn't it?
No, not quite that, no.
What is it?
And that's Sir Alec Guinness talking to Michael Parkinson about the role that he wasn't tempted to take, but did, and it rewarded him well. Lisa Cannon, head of studio at DMG Media, is here. Lisa, good morning.
Good morning. Now, this is a very interesting topic and subject matter, because I was speaking to an actor recently enough who also had signed a contract, not a very particularly well-known actor, but somebody nonetheless, and they had to back out of it. And if they did so, they had to pay the residuals and the fees in order to their contract. So a lot of actors, sadly, you know, they chase their roles, they claw their way of this greasy pole called success in Hollywood. And then there's some roles they have to take contractually, or maybe they just sign the dotted line because they liked the other co-star. But many of them, regrettably, don't enjoy some of the movies they make.
Alec Guinness, he enjoyed the money. And in fact, it wasn't terribly demanding, but he didn't like the dialogue. He was now contractually bound. He agreed with Lucas that he would do it.
He did.
But he didn't necessarily enjoy the experience.
No, he didn't. He actually said that he didn't actually even enjoy the public and the publicity that it craved and gave to him, of course. He dreaded returning to set most days, and he felt the film lacked emotional depth. And I know so many people who love Star Wars, it's an iconic movie, of course, 1977, but he is the masterful Shakespearean actor. And I think that could be part of it, but also he reluctantly had the lightsaber in his hand. You know, he felt the dialogue was dreadful. You heard him there in the clip. But moreover, he disliked not only the attention, but the fandom as well. I think he found it overwhelming.
Because one of the things about Alec Guinness is that he really inhabited his characters. He wasn't like a star in the classic Hollywood sense.
No, not at all.
You know,
at
if you walked down the street, you wouldn't even know who he was.
No, that's it, of course. And then, of course, when, you know, became public of who he was, I think he just couldn't take the heat when the movie came out.
Tell me about Brad Pitt and Interview with the Vampire.
Yeah, here's another interesting one. Obviously, it's a Neil Jordan picture, close to our hearts, of course, but starring Tom Cruise. Brad Pitt didn't enjoy the process of making Interview with the Vampire. Well, it's been said, he said he found it miserable, which is an awful thing to say of an actor.
He wanted out.
On set. He wanted out, and it was said that it would be $40 million for him to contractually remove himself the picture, which is an awful lot of money. And, you know, sadly, there's always been this kind of frisson between Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt. Only when they met recently at the F1 premiere in London did people think they were going to do something again together. But there's kind of been a brewing disagreement between both of them, and that was to do with that particular film.
Now, you have another clip, and this is Christopher Plummer, who played Captain Von Trapp in The Sound of Music. And the thing about this is that it was rumoured he didn't like the part at all.
Rumoured. He said it on every chat show. I mean, we just had Parkinson there with Sir Alec Guinness. But yeah, Christopher Plummer goes to town on it. Have a listen to this. Not the nicest thing to say about a movie you're in.
The most famous movie you made as far as the mass audience of the world is what you call The Sound of Mucus. Which you hate. Why did you hate The Sound of Music so much?
I did not.
Every
hate
time
it.
I read a clipping about you, it says... Yes. I hated that movie.
No, I didn't hate the movie at all. I did not, and that's absolutely true. I thought it was a wonderful movie. Just because I made a joke about it, every journalist in the world remembers that and not the good parts of about the film. I love that.
You were fine in The Sound of Music.
Yeah, I wasn't ashamed of it at all.
But you're credited with having given something to the role that wasn't on paper.
Well, we did, Ernie Lehman and I did sit in a little smoke-filled room and we tried to rewrite the character because the stage version, the poor man didn't have anything. He'd say one word and then the lady would come on and sing 20 numbers and then he'd come on again. So we tried to give him a little bit more flesh to his bones than the play had. And I think it worked.
It worked for so many people who love that movie. Yeah. Now, Harrison Ford, Blade Runner, you know, great success.
Great success, but didn't enjoy making the film at all. A bit like Christopher Plummer. He has admitted that he frequently drank throughout, that's an awful thing to say, throughout filming, just to numb himself and get through the scenes. And particularly with Harrison Ford, there's many clips you can listen online, the same with Christopher Plummer there, that, you know, he talks very miserably about the process of making the film. But he clashed with director Ridley Scott. Of course, that's part of it. He found the shoot kind of cold and slow and grueling. But I think because it became a classic, I'm sure at some point with his bank balance, he must have fell back in love with it again. Mm. But no, he said many times even since that he found it tirelessly, the narration
and
forced.
And speaking of bank balances, what about Daniel Craig and Bond? Well, I would have thought he loved doing Bond.
Well, I would have thought so too. But you know, with Daniel Craig, it's kind of a funny thing because he's been actually outright and very vocal about the fact that he would never play Bond again, that it, you know, was kind of one of the worst things he ever decided to do. But why? When he did such a good job? I mean, yes, contractually, some of these stars, it's physically punishing, it's grueling. But I think, you know, to be able to be Bond is fantastic. Mm. He said he would never do it again.
Yeah. After Spectre, he said he'd rather slash his wrists than play Bond again.
Isn't that a terrible thing to
say? But he couldn't get out of it because he was contracted.
Yes, this is it. And even Christopher Plummer, just to go back to him very quickly, you know, he also said that, you know, he's backpedaling a little bit in that clip that we heard. But many other times he said it was horrific and he hated it.
Now, you have a clip of Marilyn Monroe. So set the scene for us.
So Marilyn, of course, wonderful actress, of course, at the time. And she was trying to really work hard on not only her acting skills, but her public image. And in 1953, she did Gentlemen Prefer Blondes, and to the world, she was the bombshell, of course. But she was desperate to break free of the image. So she wanted to be taken seriously as an actress and went to the Lee Strasberg, you know, School of Acting to in order, you know, really to enhance that skill set and learn the craft or study the craft, whatever you want to say. But the studio control was ironclad in those days. So Gentlemen Prefer Blondes came out. She was appalled by how sexualized she was in the picture and she wanted to be, you know, a different caricature in it, but that's not how it went. So here is a wonderful piece where she says she wants to be taken seriously as an actress, and it's actually quite sad to hear her wanting that and needing that from the public view. Have a listen.
Well, I, as I say, the thing I like the most is to become a real actress. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I was a kid sitting in the front row at the movies on Saturday afternoon. And I would never come out of the movie. They'd have to come and get me, you know, I'd sit in the front row. And I think how wonderful it would be to be an actress and so forth. But I didn't really realize about acting, except I appreciated what I saw. Bad, good, it didn't matter. I enjoyed it very much, everything that I would see, anything that would move on the screen. However, I think I realize more and more the responsibility. And it is a responsibility, and as I say, I would like to be a good actress.
Mm-hmm. Good night, Marilyn.
Bye-bye. It's a pleasure meeting you.
Aww. Well, you see, the thing is, I think she found it very reductive in the role. She was sexualized. It was a ditzy gold digger and she just didn't feel she had any creative control. And I'm sure many actors feel that. Mm. Some of them started.
And yet
out,
she went on to repeat the role. Some like it hot. I mean, she's the classic piece of acting.
That's
there.
True. And I know you're a Marilyn fan as well. Mm. But I think, you know, some actors crave deeper, more intuitive scripts. I mean, we could have so many examples, even Bill Murray, Garfield, he thought it was the Coen brothers that were writing the Garfield script and he got it wrong and he was contractually, you know, made to do it.
Jennifer Lawrence on Passengers.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, even the more, you would say, kind of the more younger actors of this time and generation, you would have thought that they would have had a little bit more power, a bit more freedom to be able to do what they want to do. But same with, yes, Jennifer Lawrence, she's been very vocal about the script implications and the narrative. She couldn't morally defend it. She expressed that she felt pressure and expectations from her own management team to do a movie that was a sci-fi blockbuster. And seemingly Adele had told her not to do it and she did it anyway and always regretted it. But it just goes to show that typecasting, image control and studio dominance have shaped careers for all the actors from Marilyn and Sir Alec Guinness right through to kind of the newbies like Jennifer Lawrence and beyond.
And in her case, I mean, she was being woken from a cryo sleep by a man who effectively by doing so condemned her to die with him.
Indeed. Indeed. I think sometimes it's like an image, isn't it? Like people see on Instagram, you know, actors look brilliant on screen and we all think that, you know, they're doing a wonderful job and they love being in that picture, when actually everything is falling apart behind the scenes and they hate being there and they don't get on with the director or they're, you know, fraught with difficulty. So it just goes to show.
They do cash the check at the end of the day.
They do. They do. The lucky ones. Indeed.
Lisa Cannon, head of studio at DMG Media, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.